Cass Bishop, and this is the Virtual Business Show. They're a generation who grew up seemingly already understanding tech, surrounded by constant 24-hour entertainment, who grew up with influencers instead of role models and mentors, used to instant gratification, information right there at your fingertips, always on connectivity, vanity metrics, and they are also the next generation of virtual assistant. We had a rather interesting discussion, if you can call it that, in a VA Facebook group the other day around behaviour, and it became very clear very quickly that some of the new crop of VAs has a very different understanding of ethical professional behaviour and what industry groups are actually about, despite that their purpose is usually written right there in the group description. Some groups on Facebook have changed from their intended purpose of being spaces where VAs can learn from each other, grow, have questions asked and answered, network and thrive, to spaces that are regularly spammed. There is a clear lack of understanding of what a VA actually is, or they're used for list or member poaching. Whilst groups do allow members to post links to their offerings on particular days, although some not at all, the general rule is questions posted on Group A should not encourage members of Group A to head on over and join Group B for the answers to said question. In the spirit of learning and growing and building your business, answer the question in the group within which you posted it. If you don't, you are list poaching, and that is unethical. To ask a question that appears legitimate, like, for example, what is your biggest challenge in your VA practice, then instead of discussing the issues right there on the question, you post responses to comments along the lines of, oh, I hear you, I struggled with that myself, I run a Facebook group that teaches you exactly how to overcome these challenges, and then post the link to your group, or PM me and I can tell you how I overcame this, then you sell them your course. That is list poaching, especially when it's promotion done on a day not designated as a promotion day. That then becomes underhanded, and that isn't ethical, no matter what spin you put on it. Then there's the, as Kate Toon calls it, questy promo, the promotion hidden within a question. I have this new whatever and need advice on how to promote it. Facebook group members and membership lists of VA directories are the intellectual property of the group and list owner respectively. When you spam a list on a Facebook group encouraging members to join your group so you can then sell them your offering is the same as data mining, and it's unethical. Just the same as blog posts, podcasts, training courses are the intellectual property of the creators, and it is unethical, not to mention a breach of copyright, to take that content and pass it off as your own. Lists take years to build and grow, and it is unethical for you to, well, let's call it what it is, steal that information. Even if you don't view what you are doing that way, that is exactly what you are doing. Inviting people to your group from a group you have joined primarily for that purpose is stealing. It would seem that some of the younger new generation of VA disagrees. They don't consider this unethical at all, but just doing business. I guess this makes sense when you've joined a program already in progress. The VA industry has been going for over 30 years, but our new generation seems to think they started it. The global pioneers of our industry started literally from the ground up at a time when the internet was either in its infancy in some countries or didn't exist at all. These pioneers became mentors, and the next generation then built on their predecessors' work, creating an industry that was well respected and professional. Codes of ethics were formulated, and whilst there is no governing body for the industry that sets uniform standards, the basics of good business practice are there, and pinching other people's hard-earned lists of members isn't one of them. Many of the people engaging in this type of behaviour whilst calling themselves VAs are selling coaching or training programs to others wanting to be VAs. And many of them are coming from literally 12 months in business themselves. You cannot, and I don't care who you are, say that you have a proven methodology for running a successful VA practice when you've barely even hit your first tax period yet. What you have done is work out that there are people out there training, you can do this too, and there are people out there willing to pay you. Just fake it till you make it, which is precisely what I've heard one of these expert trainers tell their students to do. And if that's your business model, then more power to you. But you're not teaching people how to run a successful VA practice. Because to be blunt, if you were running a successful VA practice, you wouldn't need the extra income from teaching others how. You simply wouldn't have the time. And by VA practice, I'm referring to the definition of a VA, a solopreneur in private practice serving a stable of clients individually, not a multi-VA practice, which is a different model entirely. The member who took direct offence at our Facebook group discussion told me quite boldly that, no, you're wrong. You can indeed be the owner of a successful business in less than 2 years, in 3 months, in fact. It just depends on your definition of success. Now, there's no doubt that people have different definitions of success, just as they do different definitions of what's ethical. But at the very least, if you are going to start a business, there are pretty standard reasons why that are common to everyone. These might be things like to be autonomous and not reliant on a paycheck, or you'd stay employed. To have a regular stream of paying clients or ones that stay with you, so you can keep your business going. That you can pay the bills. Some want to get rich, but a lot just want to be comfortable without having to answer to a boss. That you can have your income exceed your expenses, or that you can improve your quality of life. You need a few years under your belt, in my opinion, before you can say that you have proven strategies for success, regardless of your individual definition of success. I'd ask, are the strategies you use to start your own practice relevant to the people you're teaching? Have they evolved to remain effective in the ever-evolving business environment? Your strategies might have worked for your particular practice, but will they work for mine, in my country or culture, in my industry specialty or niche? Does the model transition changes in economy or, as we saw recently, pandemics? This young VA told me that she was a success because she could be available for her children. What if I don't have any? As a business consulting client of mine put it, it's easy to say what to do, but what about the how, the implementation? And if you haven't implemented the how, then how can you teach it? There are well-known existing metrics for success. They're called your profit and loss and balance sheet. Everyone from Apple down has those. And 3 months' worth of data isn't enough of a metric to gauge success, not by any recognised definition. Is the business profitable? What does the P&L look like and the balance sheet? How many paying clients, not students, do you have? Do you get referrals? Do those clients, not students, rave about your service? Do you appear anywhere online other than Facebook or Instagram? What I think we have here isn't a difference in the definition of success so much as a difference in business model. If your business model is to earn an income from people paying you to teach them to set up their business, no matter what that business is, then that's one thing. If your model is to take money from people to teach them how to run a successful VA practice when you've only been in your own for less than 2 years and therefore have limited experience running a VA practice, let alone a successful one, that's a different model entirely, and it has nothing to do with success. If your business model and my idea of what I want my business to look like aren't aligned, how can your success translate directly to my success? If the model is merely a spin on the Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week, where in fact you're an agency, what if the people you train don't want to be an agency and manage a team of others? What if their individual circumstances make it unwise for them to run an agency model business because of the tax and employment-related implications? There is a whole other episode on training and making sure that you do your due diligence on whoever you pay to train you, so I won't rehash it here. But the key takeaway from that episode is, if you want value for your training dollar, be trained and mentored by people who have walked the walk for years, not months. If I tell you you need life-saving surgery, are you going to go to the best there is, a surgeon with a proven track record of successful surgeries under their belt, or the guy still learning? If you want to drive a car, will you go to the instructor who has driven for years in the style of vehicle you want to drive, whether that's a manual, an automatic, or a B-double truck, or the instructor who has only ever driven a push bike, and the sum total of their driving experience has been backing out of the driveway, or worse, reading the manual? Which, to be blunt, is akin to having a business degree with zero real-world business experience. It is a well-known fact that up to 80% of new businesses fail within the first year of life, with about half of those left going on to survive beyond the five-year mark. Some of these statistics change depending on which country you are in, but they are similar across the board. It doesn't matter if you have a business degree. A business degree does not teach you how to run a successful virtual assistant practice, or any business for that matter. It doesn't make you an expert. It doesn't give you real-world experience. When I quoted this figure to our group commenter, I was told she had never heard that statistic, and where was I getting my information? Her inability to do a simple Google search was enlightening as to her ability as a VA, since searching is one of the most basic of requirements. I'll include in the resources section links to exactly where that information does come from. And then, of course, there's the old saying, those who can do, those who can't teach. There is no offence to teachers here. The idiom refers to people who have never actually practiced in their chosen profession, but then go out and teach others how to be successful in it. Now, I'm not saying that things should stay the same or never change. Things naturally evolve, and the VA industry is not exempt. However, evolution suggests that the process moves the organism, or in this case the industry, forward in a positive way. From what I'm seeing on social media lately, this doesn't seem to be happening. If we want this industry to continue to grow and thrive, indeed to survive, then it's important we all get on the same page. We all want the same thing, and there is plenty of work out there for us all. My message to the new generation of VAs is simple and is the same advice I give my daughter. You don't have all the answers. Learn to listen to the advice given, not because the people giving it are always right, but because they have more experience of being wrong. You don't have to take it, but like everything in life and business, that's your choice. Mentors trump influencers any day, especially with the ever-changing nature of the business environment. Never underestimate the value of experience and learn from the wisdom of those who have walked the road before. There is no need to go it alone and reinvent the wheel. And if you want to be part of the evolution, be sure you're moving things forward. I'm Lynn Prowse-Bishop. Thanks so much for listening.